about, what's really important as we think about the birth of Christ and all the happenings and all the things that transpired that evening and all the things that indeed was a manifestation of the ultimate glory of God. Mary pondered it. I want you to ponder with me a moment. I want you to think about it. You know, blessed is the man who meditates in the Word of God day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the living water. The word ponder means meditate, means think. Roll it over and over and over and over and over in your mind. For unto you was born in that day a Savior. The aspects of that just blows my mind. Have you really, really, really taken the time just to sit down, relax, shut out the world, all the things that are happening in your family, all the things that are transpiring, all the big meals you got to fix, and all the stuff, and just gone somewhere and by yourself, lonesome, if you will, and tried to grasp a hold of the deep meaning of what transpired on that night on your behalf? Doesn't seem that all the festivities and things that goes on in our lives today during this time of the year can really turn this time of the year and what we're doing sort of superficial, empty it, so it really doesn't give us the joy that those shepherds felt, the reality of what those wise men understood when they brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, proclaiming, if you will, they understood who this baby was. He was going to be a king. He was going to become a high priest, and he was going to die and give his life on a cross. That's what those three gifts represented. And every aspect of that. Mary knew that. Yet all that time and the aspect of what you see, all that aspect of happiness and joy and things that were transpiring, etc., Mary was just simply pondering. Now, I'm sure she was happy. I'm sure she had some joy. I'm sure she was in that full with anticipation. The aspects of that and the birth of this one who she had told and been told she would be the one who would bear this unbelievable Messiah. We call his name Jesus because he's going to save his people from his sins. Jesus' birth is the beginning of God's great plan of redeeming man. And it all started, if you will, with a little woman, probably about 19 years old, a virgin, bearing and bringing forth a male child, who God told Satan way back in Genesis 3:15 that through a woman there would be a baby son born who would destroy him. The aspects of that. Mary was made fully aware of this, more so in the aspect that 40 days later she takes Jesus to the temple, as the tradition would have her to do, and there as she is giving this little baby into the hands of Simeon, she hears this priest, this man of God, saying, "Now, my eyes have seen your salvation. Let your servant depart in peace." Mary heard those words. She heard him say those things. And in doing that, an aspect of that, the Bible simply says, Mary was trying to reason in her heart what she heard about this male baby, this baby, her son, the aspects of that. And then, of course, you know, at age 12, he goes and they've been to the temple, they're heading home, the great group of people with him, somehow or other, as it was, it had been custom for children to be playing with other children and so on, I'm sure. They go to find Jesus and they can't find him. So they leave the crowd and they go back to Jerusalem and they find him in the temple at 12 years of age, reasoning with the scribes. And they amazingly are saying, as it is, they could not understand how such one could understand the scriptures and reveal and teach them, which he was doing. Mary said to Joseph, or as it was to Jesus, said, Why have you treated us this way? I mean, we're mom and dad. Why have you treated us this way? We have been your father and I have been anxiously looking for you. You know what Jesus said? Woman, what does that have to do with us? For my time has not yet come. He didn't say mom. He didn't say mother. He that woman. I'm more than what you anticipate me to be. I have a purpose. I have a goal. And when he said that, the Bible says in verse 51, and his mother treasured all these things in her hearts. Imagine Mary hearing, seeing, experiencing, going through, and then not completely silent, saying nothing, just thinking about it, reasoning about it, going over and over in her mind, pondering, thinking, treasuring. I think we all need to do that. I think we all need to take some time, get away from every aspect of life and this busyness right now, and just really, really, really focus on what the birth of Jesus Christ really means to you. What does it mean that a man who was almost at that point of dying, blind, could see? He could take this little baby in his arms and know who he was. The one whom the world had been looking for, and he had been looking for, and no doubt in his mind who he was. And behold, my eyes have seen. He was blind. My eyes have seen your salvation. Therefore, let me depart in peace. Can you depart in peace? If you know you're going to die, can you really depart in peace knowing you have come to know your Savior and you know you have salvation? Can you really do that? Can you really say that? Can you really feel that in your heart? That is more gain to die than to live? Can you really ponder that? Can you really feel that? I mean, that is what Simeon experienced with Jesus in his arms. I mean, he was born unto us, the Savior. The aspects of that. The next thing you know about Mary is Jesus has grown. He starts his ministry at age of 30. First thing he does is he performs a miracle. Wedding feast, remember? Changes water into wine. Gallons of water into pure, if you will, grape juice. Oinos is simply fruit of the vine. And Jesus, as it was, again, Mary comes to the Lord. You might have pondered it enough to know that he was just more than a man now, because he says, Lord, you know, he said, Son, Jesus, they've run out of grape juice. Inferring again that Jesus ought to do something about it. And so as Jesus reply, again, woman, what does this have to do again with us? I mean, the aspect of it is, he didn't again recognize the aspect of the fleshly element of Mary. He knew that he was the element, yeah, the Son, but he knew that he was the Son of God. He knew that. And so the rest of the miracle is very clear. You know all the happening, 20 to 30 gallons in every jug, miraculously transformed, and when the guests and everybody had taken a drink of it and was drunk to their satisfaction, they asked the question, why in the world have you saved the best for last? Wow. The aspect of that is that as Jesus responded to Mary, she just simply told to all the people, all the men, all the servants, whatever he tells you to do, do it. You suppose maybe a revival would come into your heart and your life if you would just say, okay, Lord, whatever you say, I'm going to do it. Whatever your word proclaims, whatever it is it tells me, whatever you have taught, whatever you said, God, I'm not going to question it. Lord, I'm just going to do it. Mary came to the point that she understood that when Jesus said something, do it. Do what he says to do. Do it. The aspects, again, I think, maybe we ought to sit down and ponder all the things that we know that our relationship with God, that he's required or asked us to do. I mean, he said, why do you call me Lord and do not do the things that I've asked you to do? You know what he said? Then he said, if you really love me, you will keep my commandments. Do it. Want a revival in this church, in your life, then just take the word of God, see what Jesus asked you to do, do it. That's what Mary would say. Do it. Just do it. Just do it. And then, of course, came Calvary, you know, that day. Mary was there with the Apostle John. Very few individuals, all of them had gone, but four. The rest had fled. They were faithful in fear, but she was there. And you know what? It's interesting. When Jesus looked down and saw the woman, he said, "Woman, behold your son." Did you know what that really meant? You know what she had to have pondered and come to understand? "I'm dying for you, Mom. I'm going to shed my blood for you. Because of what's happening to me right now, Mom, you're going to be saved. You're going to spend eternity with me someday, God. Mom, I just want you to know, woman, listen, I'm your son, but I'm doing this for you. I came into this world through your womb, but I came here to die for you, Mom, and I'm dying for you right now, Mom. I want you to behold that. I want you to see that. I'm showing you, Mom, just how much I really love you." Wow. Ponder that for a moment. Because that's what exactly he was sending and saying to her, "Mom, I love you, and I'm dying for you." You come all through that element of Jesus' little life pattern and come to a point where you ponder it all, and can you bow your knees before the cross and look up into Jesus' eyes and see and know, Bill, behold your Savior. I'm dying for you. I'm paying this price so you can have the opportunity to spend eternity with me and with my Father someday. Isn't that what it's all about, people? Isn't that what it's all about? It's coming to a point that we sit down, be silent, just be quiet a while, just ponder in your own heart, and look at all the things that transpires and how it all comes to a point that we can sing, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Silent night, holy night, oh little town of Bethlehem." All those songs are powerful, they really are. And they're all about one person, one individual, one little baby born in a manger. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Amen. I don't know if you know Jesus. I don't know if you've ever acknowledged him in your personal life. They come to a point where you understand and know, as did indeed that Roman soldier who saw all the happening, stood there in amazement, the darkness, the earthquake, all this transpired, heard his words coming out of his mouth, all these things. "I come into your hands, I commend my spirit, God." And he gave it up. And that Samaritan looking upon all this, behold, this truly is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. That little baby born in the manger was the Son of God. But he wants to be your Savior. So what you can do is through this little aspect of message this morning, you can be adopted and become a son of God. You can become a child of God. Through the process of God's great plan of redemption, you can be redeemed, forgiven, washed in the blood of the Lamb. You can be received into the family of God. He can become your father. You become his children. And you can have the promise of eternal life. Isn't that wonderful? You think there is a human mind, or even a group of human mind, that could have even begin to reason and pondered the story of Luke chapter 2. I'm telling you, people, Luke chapter 2, if it doesn't move your heart, nothing will. You don't catch what's going on there in Mary's life and all the other happenings that have transpired. There's not a human heart. I don't care what you think or what you believe. There isn't a human being that could have created the birth of my Lord. It had to be a message that came from a heart of love that was shared with you and me, and it came from God's heart to you and me. It was God's story, not yours, nor mine, or anybody else. It's God's message of love. Come, salvation is in my Son. You confess him before men. Jesus said, "I'll confess you before my Father who is in heaven." He's the means, the only way that you and I can ever hope to be saved. "I'm the way, the truth, and the light," declares the Son of God. "I'm the good shepherd." Come on, people. Rejoice in your salvation. Take joy in the birth of your Savior. Sing it with your hearts. Sing it with joy. Ponder it. And then let the music come. Let the song come. Praise be to God for Jesus Christ who was born. Let's pray. Father in God, we thank you for the message that you have sent to us. And we're thankful that Jesus is such an intimate part of that message, and what a wonderful life he lived. And what a great indeed Savior he has become to us, who have heard his voice, who have done what he's asked us to do, who have repented and been baptized into Christ, knowing that there, the blood of Jesus itself shed on Calvary, you promised that you would apply and wash away every sin we've ever committed, that you would raise us up to become new creatures. You would indeed raise us up to become your children. Your spirit would fellowship with our spirit. We would know and testify, Abba, Daddy, you are indeed our Father. Bless us today. Bless everyone here today. And help us to celebrate together from our hearts to your heart our gratefulness for Jesus Christ. For it's in his name that I pray. Amen.